This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, people, I got shows coming, but I want you to be there, so listen up and get your tickets. Let's see. What's going on? Where do we got? We got Texas. I got Texas. Lots of shows in Texas. First up, February 9th, I'll be in Sugarland, Texas, a.k.a. Houston, that whole area, at the Smart Financial Center. Then on the 10th of February, I'll be in Grand Prairie, Texas, a.k.a. the Dallas-Fort Worth area, at Texas Trust CU Center. Then on the 11th of February, I'll be in San Antonio, Texas, at the Majestic Theater. And last but certainly not least, I'll be in Austin, Texas, at the Bass Concert Hall. Check out more dates to come at russellpeters.com, because we are always adding dates. Now, for today's episode, we're looking back on funny moments from the last year, because the thing is, I've had a lot of funny people on this show, so let's celebrate it. It's a compilation episode, people, because I'm busy, and I'm getting married soon, so leave me alone, all right? I'm trying to stay away from people. Anyway, so let's take a look back now, and we'll have some new episodes for you sooner than you could ever call me a brown man. Enjoy.
Y'all motherfuckers have no code. It's always funny. I won't forget the time that we was on tour, or we went to one of your shows, and Chris Rock was on a bus. It might have been Chris Rock and somebody else. We was going to the venue. Whitney Houston had died not 24 hours earlier, and y'all was fucking going ham with the jokes. And then you went, too soon? And we all was like, come on, Russell. And you was like, I mean, but is it ever really too soon?
It's
like,
it's never soon
enough. It was always a joke.
All right, so let me ask you this, in terms of too soon. Remember when my man, I forget which one it was, but the dude from Criss Cross passed away.
Right, Chris right. Kelly, RIP. God
about
bless.
About 4 days into the passing, I was on stage, and somebody in the audience was like, yo, dude from Criss Cross died. And I was like, damn, that's fucked up. I wonder if they're going to put him in the casket backwards.
We are fucking done. You are a savage.
I remember the day Michael Jackson died, I tweeted, I said, it's a sad day for music, and the Jackson 4 tour is going to suck.
Listen, as comedians, I ask y'all, because that's something that maybe just us regular humans who don't tell jokes for a living understand.
We call y'all civilians.
Is that a code? Is it a code like whoever, if it's funny, it's funny?
Yep. It is, but the problem is the funny is always going to be the butt of somebody.
Right.
It has so it's to funny be. To everybody else but them. I'm going to give you one more, and I think he stopped following me because of this. Dwayne Wade was following me on Twitter, and this was right around the time he was playing bad. Like, he went through a stretch.
Right.
And after one game, he played so bad, I tweeted, yo, D-Wade shouldn't even shower after the game because he's already washed up.
Wow. Wowzers.
So, you know, it's a thin line between joke and not.
Right.
Well, it's a joke to us. It ain't a joke to them. That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is. Funny. And it's not like y'all would say it and everybody's going to go, ooh, that was cold. You shouldn't have said that. Somebody's going to laugh. And that's the point.
Of course.
If the point is that if one motherfucker in the room falls out laughing, then the joke works. Hey,
that's how we look at it.
Yep. You've done your job.
Ooh, and then you're gonna hit a laugh.
Listen, you ain't a real comic till somebody wants to fight you.
True.
Wow.
And I've had several incidences where people in the audience wanted to come to blows.
And what's so crazy is
I'm not even a Crisscross fan, and I want to fight your ass.
That was cold. That was so. Let me ask you this.
Hold on, Aries just jumped.
You do a hell of a DMX impression. Uh-huh. We just lost X. God bless.
Right.
If somebody did an X joke, would that rub you the wrong way?
Not at all. Okay. I just wouldn't do the X joke.
Because it was your friend, right?
He scared the shit out of me, man. Right. Let me tell you, when I came out with my comedy CD, just right around the time Jay-Z was doing a concert at the Staples Center. So I went down there, I hung out with Meth and me and Redman, we all went together. So I was trying to get as many celebrity endorsements as I could. So I saw this one. I said, yo, can you just hold up the CD? Give me a shout out on camera, support my man. And everybody did it. Busta, everybody, Snoop. So finally I seen X. And on the CD, I did a bunch of crank calls. So I did a crank call of DMX calling First AME Baptist Church, talking to Reverend Murray about the beef with Ja Rule. So X kind of heard about it. And I said, yo, X, can we? He said, yo, dog, come with me. So I walk into the locker room. And all his boys come in there, and there's only one way in and one way out.
Right.
Me and X stand in the middle, and his boys all make a circle around us. And the bodyguard, the last one, comes in, slams the door, and just stands in front of the door. And I said, X, can you, with my CD, dog, my voice, I heard some things. I don't know. If it's good, yeah. If it's not, and then the motherfucker proceeded, and this is how I know I'm black, but I ain't black.
Right.
This nigga pulls out a razor blade from underneath his tongue, and he had the ability to talk with it without cutting himself.
Right.
Now, I'm Huxtable's black. That's good times, nigga.
Right.
That shit. I saw that shit.
It's a fine line between, were you scared?
Yes, nigga.
I should have come with gifts. But
no,
I,
you did. You came with two stuffed animals for my daughter.
That
you
was,
came with a Daffy and a Bugs.
That was specifically for them. And I know the viewers are like, when's he going to do voices? You have this guy. And you know, Daffy is just Richard Dreyfuss with a lisp, that voice.
That's going to make sense.
You know, we're not going to line up to be a hot meal for some shark, okay? We're dealing with a perfect eating machine, Mr. Vaughn.
Was there one they asked you to do that you couldn't do?
Again, we were talking about this earlier about
like, they say, hey, Eric, can you do this? And you go, I think so. And you try and you go, oh, it sounds nothing like it.
Everybody
makes
some
fun of me because my default for any impression is Lovitz.
What?
Literally, everybody goes, do this. And I'll go do it. And they go, that's Lovitz. I go, okay, let me try it again. That's still Lovitz.
That's still Lovitz. Because Lovitz is so, like, you know, he's one of those voices you just fall into. And
Russell, do Kim Jong-un. That's Lovitz. That's Lovitz again.
All right, people of North Korea.
Yeah, can you imagine if that's how he talked? Like, that would be amazing.
I haven't shit in 10 years.
You're all under my control. Tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's... And I saw him at the Lovitz Comedy Club back at Universal.
I did that place back in the day.
That was the place, man. Hula-themed?
Yeah, it was a very weird thing.
Hawaiian-themed? But yeah, voices, it's like... sometimes I'll sit there and try to nail something, get things down, but it's... Like with Daffy, it was always Bugs, right? Everyone wants to do Bugs.
That was your first?
At home, like
we at home. That's where it counts.
Yeah, when you're sitting there going,
can I do this voice? Like, what is it about Bugs Bunny that everyone loves? And it's the hardest kind of voice to replicate.
Realize he's from New York.
New York, the nasal, the Brooklyn Bronx thing, but I never thought Daffy was something I could do until you're asked to audition for it, and then you sit down and you try to peel back the voice. Because Daffy, when Mel Blanc was doing the voice, he was actually doing Sylvester. Nobody knows this, but he was doing Sylvester.
With a different pitch.
And they would pitch it up like how they, I guess, used to do it, or still kind of do it with Trey Parker on South Park.
Ah.
When he's doing Cartman, he's not doing that high-pitched thing. He's kind of doing this kind of deep kid voice thing, and they pitch it up, and for whatever reason, it turns into Cartman.
Oh.
So that's how Daffy's done. He's actually doing Sylvester's voice, but then they raise it. But when I'm doing it, it's like a self-pitched voice. Like how when you do Lovitz, it's a self.
Son of a pitch.
Son of a pitch.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
So I did this TV show, go ahead, look it up, called Sing Your Face Off, and we had to imitate famous singers. So I go, I could do Pavarotti, and then I'm listening to him, and I'm like, I'm an idiot. Why did I say that? He's so amazing. And I sing La Donna Mobile, and I had to hit this high note. That's me as Elton John. And a fat Elton, I look, you know, Elton John. So I go, I couldn't hit this high note. And they had a singing teacher, Roger Love, who's great, but I still couldn't get it. And then I found a video on YouTube of a Pavarotti explaining how he sings. I went, oh.
Was it in English?
Yeah, and then called Covered Singing. You can look it up. He explains how he sings. And they go, that's the way you do it. Of course, he knows. Then I found another video, and Roger Love's a great guy, by the way, and a great singing coach, but I wasn't able to, the way he was saying it, I couldn't do it. And this show, Sing Your Face Off, it's all over the world in 40 countries. It's very popular. But it's hard to find people to do it because you've got to be able to sing and imitate other singers. And the best one I did was I did Roy Orbison, and it was like spooky. If you can find it, Russell.
Find it, Eddie.
Farts. I mean, Peters. But anyway, my point is, if you want to sing, I said to somebody, well, what does Frank Sinatra do that's so great? And they go, well, it's his phrasing. It's the, they can't explain it. And there's a thing on, if you go on Google, go Tips on Popular Singing by Frank Sinatra, a book about how to sing, and he explains breathing, which is different than any teacher explains it. And that's my point. And it works like a charm. And if you practice it, and basically he says, every teacher will go, well, you breathe in the air and you push your diaphragm out, you push it in, it's this. Frank Sinatra says, no. Breathe in the air through your nose so you don't dry out your vocal cords. And he goes, your chest fills with air. You know, your lungs fill with air and your chest expands. Now he goes, don't let your chest go back in. Now, and that's what your focus is on, your chest, rib cage not going back in. Well, to do that, you use your stomach muscles. But it's just a different thing to focus on. And it works. And if you combine that with Pavarotti, having your throat open and relaxed and just, you know, It's unbelievable. And I mean, and then you just practice it every day and you get better and better and better to the point where Russell Peters says, John, we're doing a whole podcast an hour. I just want you to sing. And I go, no, you're not paying me.
You can sing though.
I think so. I mean, I try, you know, I never said I'm a professional singer, but I love to sing. And I've gotten to sing with Robbie Williams. My friend got me a job at who's the biggest rock star? Yeah, the Royal Albert Hall, not his album. And I got to sing at Dodger Stadium a bunch, and I sung at Carnegie Hall. But I mean, I sing way better now because I learned from Pavarotti and Frank Sinatra, the two greatest singers ever. I go, that's who you listen to. That's my point.
I mean, the two greatest white singers ever. Let's not negate Aretha Franklin and all the good ones.
I'm not saying she's not a great singer, but what
I think you're wrong.
They're two of the greatest singers ever.
You know, Robbie was living in L.A. for a while.
Isn't he? Yeah, I think he's.
I think he moved back to England, though.
I don't know.
He was huge.
But his address was... I'm kidding. So now, ironically, this is Robbie. He's doing a song Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby sang, Well Did You Ever... I'm singing okay, and I don't think I'm singing great in this.
I think you sound
I'm trying to imitate Bing Crosby. What a swell party this is. I sing better now. Russell won't eat cow because he's from India. Culturally canceled, politically incorrect. Don't eat a cow. Don't eat a burger.
But I'll eat pork and you won't.
And I won't. It's a different religion.
Enjoy your shellfish. Oh, you can't.
I can't.
Hold up.
How was it staying with brother all winter?
It was much nicer than the other years, especially nicer than last year. And I had a nice time. I enjoyed it with Chrissy. I enjoyed whatever little time we had with Chumpy, even though Chumpy was clinging to Daddy all the time.
Well, he's a daddy's boy, you know, he misses me. Yeah,
but it was a nice 4.5 months, but I couldn't wait to get back home.
It's true. She was chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Chomping.
Towards the end, I wanted to come home badly. And now I'm happy to be home.
And now you're also off quarantine.
I'm off quarantine, but I still can't go anywhere because I don't drive.
You say it like that's new information.
Yeah, that's wow. When did you stop driving?
When did you stop driving? What was it that made you give up your license?
I stopped driving when they took my license away.
Mom has never driven.
But yeah. I've never driven. Just for the
record. Mom had a learner's permit and she waited until the last day to go for a license, then she crashed into a wall.
No, I didn't crash into a wall.
The wall crashed into you?
No, I just thought I saw a truck coming and hit the little bank. I didn't crash it. I just tipped it and they failed me. And I didn't go back. And I'm not sorry now that we have Uber.
Well, that was 1980. What year was that, Mom? 1986 or something?
No, 1982.
1982. So, I mean, 40, you waited 40 years. Later. 40 years to get this Uber going.
40 years later, there
but
was Uber.
But I didn't need an Uber then. I had my friends.
Well, you also had Dad, Mom.
I had Dad.
More importantly, you had Dad.
Then 17 years later, I have all my friends around me who take me out. So there you go.
Oh, you mean 17 years after Dad?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
It's been 17 years since our dad died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Years.
Yeah. For the show.
Yeah, because otherwise, no, they didn't start driving my mom around in 1999.
Well, I have a license to drive everybody up the wall, so that's
okay. 17 years.
Huh?
To drive
after
everybody.
After 82 is 99.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 99 till now.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the problem when we get together. We all have our own conversations in our head. Mom will be literally talking about one thing and then it'll be like, you know, I got to go to Walmart and get some baking soda. Oh, Russ, remember your friend that died? Yeah. I thought this had something to do with baking soda. Yeah. I thought of him the other day. I'm like, what the hell?
So I got new information from Mom a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
About where our grandmother's from. Did you know this?
This is Mom's mom.
Mom's mom.
Where's Mom's mom from?
Mom's
grandma.
Mom's grandma.
So our great-grandmother.
So who's from Assam?
Not Assam. My great-grandmother apparently was from the tea gardens. I don't know who she was.
But that was in Assam.
I think it was in Assam at the tea estate.
So that was your grandmother's mother?
My great-grandmother.
Yeah. So that'd be your grandmother's mother.
Yeah.
You never met her?
No. No. Never met her. I never met my grandmother's brothers. My grandmother had two brothers.
Really? You never met them?
No.
Where were they?
One died and then one...
He's harder to meet.
Idiot.
One was going to become a priest and then he left to look after his two sisters. And then that was it. I never saw them.
Yeah.
I don't know who they were.
So you never even met the priest one?
No.
What happened? Did he ever become a priest?
He never became a priest. No. He never became a priest.
He wasn't in Calcutta?
Yeah, they were all in Calcutta.
And he never met his grandniece?
Because he died. He died in the meantime. He died young.
In the meantime, I'm just going to die.
No,
Let's just write this guy out of the movie right now. He died. And,
in the meantime, this guy dies. Waiting to become a priest.
Wow. He got very sick and he died. And that left my granny and her sister. That's it.
Hmm.
Did you meet her sister?
Yeah. Oh. Auntie Gertie. You met her too.
Oh, yeah. Auntie Gertie. Oh,
right. Yeah. Uncle John's mom.
Right. Oh, that's who Auntie Gertie was.
Yeah. My granny's sister.
Gertie. Gertie. Yeah.
You met her.
Yeah. Gertrude. That was Auntie Gertrude.
Gertrude.
Yeah. And what was grandma's name?
Jessica.
Jessica. It's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
That name seems ahead of its time then.
Yeah. Jesse.
Gertrude's like right in line with that time.
Gertie. Auntie Gertie.
Thank God Grandma got the good name, huh? Yeah. Grandma got to go to Grandma Gertie's.
I got the name from Maureen O'Hara.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh.
She like Gone with the Wind?
Because my mother was a great fan of Maureen O'Hara. So I got her name, and my brother Morris got his name from Maurice Chevalier.
Wow.
And what about Uncle Roger?
I don't know where he got his name from.
Maybe they had a walkie-talkie. Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
By the guy that wanted to be a priest.
No. Who died.
Yeah. Uncle Roger. Dear old Uncle Roger.
And what about on your dad's side?
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? You can experience the conference championships with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Peters and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code Peters for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's recap, first of all. Charles Barkley, paintings, yeah. Spanish, AFib.
AFib.
And the five fiancés.
That's the name of my. That's the name of my next special. Russell and the five fiancés.
Five fiancés.
I like that you're able to commit partially, though. You know what I mean. I mean, that's like. I remember I was going to get married. I was going to propose to my wife. It took me a while, but. I got cold feet, but it was going to be before Halloween. That was my, I set this time limit. And I went out, I got a pumpkin and I got a diamond ring and I was going to place the diamond ring inside the pumpkin from the bottom and then say, hey, hon, you want to carve a pumpkin tonight? We'll have some champagne and stuff. And she'd find the ring as we're carving. And I proposed to her.
Right.
Every time I went over to her house, I get the pumpkin out that I had all carved out. I get the ring from the top of the door frame. Mm-hmm. And I'd set it all up, put it in the trunk of my car, go to her house, and I'd chicken out. And Halloween came and went. And it was, and I returned the ring. No, I returned the ring after Thanksgiving because I put it in a turkey for a while. Because I was going to propose during Thanksgiving.
You had a collection of pumpkins and rings.
Yeah, and rings. And then Easter came along, and that rabbit was not happy with that, that ring going up there. I really had to force it. But I ended up marrying the rabbit.
I would have expected more kids from that. Those things fuck like bunnies.
Oh, man.
How about that guy that put the ring in her drink and the woman drank the drink and then she started choking and she died?
Did she really?
Yeah, that happened.
What happened?
Like in Cincinnati, he put the ring in her drink and, you know.
Was it a mood ring?
I was like, no. And I guess
because she died in a bad mood.
When she went to drink and she'd see it. Guy's clearly a fucking moron, and she drank it, and it went down her throat, and she started choking, and he goes, oh, the ring's in there, and then they try to get it out, and then I think, well, she either, is it a trigonometry, or are they...
Trigonometry? Algebra, you're thinking of algebra.
Algebra. What do you call it when they put the thing here?
Tracheotomy. Tracheotomy. Tracheotomy.
Tracheotomy. Okay.
Tracheotomy. It's for the Greek. It's a Greek word.
Trache. I know, but I fucking...
meaning ring. Ring and throat.
Yeah, it means complex math.
When I went to Japan, bro, I never experienced nothing like that in my life. That fan base, the fan base, anywhere overseas we went, it was amazing, bro. Except for the time I got stuck in a sauna in Tokyo, but... That was.
I was too stuck in the sauna.
I was too big. I got in the sauna and the walls got hot and my shoulders was wide and I tried to get out and kept burning. I kept burning myself and I was like, oh. And I had
you swelled up.
That shit was different.
I got a story. I was in Japan on doing a show, and you know, I had just come from Europe doing big festivals, jumping a crowd out there. You know, they catch you.
Oh yeah, that's yeah, oh, yeah.
Fuck happens when you stage dive, right? Yeah. You know, and so this is my first time performing in Japan, and so I saw the crowd was rocking.
Don't tell
everybody,
me you tried to stage.
Everybody was making eye contact. I made the motion. I'm about to jump. The crowd was massive. It was big, right? So I back up a couple steps, again acknowledging I'm about to jump into the crowd, guys. Here I come. I don't know if you're going to understand me, but I'm about to come now. Go hit the motherfuckers. Them motherfuckers cleared the whole area.
Oh, no. Oh, they red-seed you?
They red-seed me. I hit the ground full on. Oh.
Boom, boom, boom.
Full on. Shoulder. Because that's how far I was in the air before I realized they were getting out of the way, right? So when I got up,
that's fucked
so,
up.
So I was trying to get up, and they all came right back in and started patting me like,
can't believe you're here.
They were patting me like it was like 1,000 pats, and they were being very nice about shit. They weren't like hurting me, but it was just like, And so once I got up and I actually got to the front of the stage, I stopped the show. And I was like, hey, translator.
That's fucked up.
What just happened? How come they didn't catch me? The motherfucker said something to the audience. The motherfuckers was like, never dawned on them that to catch me was an option. You know what I'm saying? They just thought he's coming down here with us.
You said we're going to do this again?
They thought it was some wrestling shit.
No. No.
Yeah, you went from exhibit to exhibit A.
Yeah, yeah.
I was you're like, coming off the top rope. Hey,
so note to self. Don't fucking stage dive in Japan.
I never had it in my heart. I never would stage dive. Never. Fuck that.
Yeah, no. I don't think they were ready for that. They was just not having it.
Certain cats, you got to be a certain weight to do that shit. Dudes like Redman.
Well, I'm a lot bigger now.
I can't fuck with that shit. Yeah.
So you were midair when you realized that I wish I could have seen slow motion.
Because they all knew it. We thought we were on the same page until the very last moment. They understood where I was coming from. They understood they was about to catch me. I didn't realize it till I was here.
Oh, they understood where you were coming from.
And then it was like, it went from this to, oh.
They had flashbacks to Nagasaki. That's what happened.
Oh, no. God damn.
Nagasaki.
So, wait up. How far was you up in the air?
Oh, man.
Because
the stage was about a foot over, maybe a couple inches over where their hands could.
Oh, my God.
No, that was a different one. That was at the World something. But that was around the same show.
You had that Ving Rhames moment and
man,
fucking Pulp Fiction.
Man, that shit,
motherfucker.
That shit was crazy because I was turning. I was turning like this, like for them to catch
that's
me.
That's crazy.
Right? So I can't catch myself when I'm motherfucking hitting the ground like, oh shit.
I didn't trust the audience.
You didn't get injured?
No, it was a wooden floor, thank God, it wasn't concrete. Right, and so boom, hit that motherfucker, and they submerged right back on me. Oh, that was fucking crazy. Like I couldn't get up.
What was they patting on you for,
man? I don't know, but they was full on.
They were acknowledging his greatness,
dude. I'm talking
like,
about
that was like you'll be all right
on the net. Every my whole shit, nobody was helping me up. They were all patting me.
That's funny as shit.
That's funny. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? So I get up, then finally get up.
Did you finish the show at least?
Absolutely. I just had to clarify that moment. I was like, yo, what the fuck just
happened?
See,
I'm different. I would be like, fuck y'all, nigga.
Fuck all y'all. The motherfucker's like, yo, dude, they did not know they were supposed to catch you. Oh, straight up. I was like, what? And I was like, okay. Show went great. It was one of those moments that, you know, you just never expect going overseas. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
My stomach had to get, when we went to India, I lost 10 pounds in India. I was eating every day. Culturally can't. I shit my pants in India. I'm not going to lie. It was delicious, but it just did not want to stay inside of my body at all.
Yeah, because it's all like not processed.
So good though.
Everything's not in other countries. Shit ain't processed.
Yeah,
Like, because they don't give a fuck about the shelf life. They're not trying to just make money. They're just trying to sell you food.
Oh,
and that's
so good.
The difference. In America, everything is like to last longer so they can make more money.
Yep. You put it on the shelf.
And they don't give a fuck about a fly land. I fly land on my hamburger, I'm throwing that shit away.
Oh, yeah, I don't give a shit.
I'm not eating. No, if a fly lands on anything, I'm throwing that shit away. Motherfuckers be chefing. I be seeing videos of these motherfuckers chefing and flies landing on shit. They still chefing. I'm like, who's going to eat this? some fly just came halfway around the world with shit chips on his feet and walked all
shit
over your
chips. Oh, wow.
Landed on your food and now you eat that shit? No, oh, man. Not doing it.
Yeah,
not
it doesn't bother me.
No stinks.
I eat on the street in India, so I'm whatever.
Yeah,
I couldn't. Whatever. Fuck, it is what it is.
I couldn't.
And my dad was a meat inspector, so everything was good to us. I was like, my dad, it's still good, eat it. Yeah. But dad, it says it expired a month ago. It said best before. That means it's still good. It just would have tasted better 1 month ago.
I can't do flies, Joe. I don't want no mm-mm. fly landing.
I said fries, bitch, not flies.
There's a video guy of an Indian dude that cooks in the woods and shit.
Oof.
On YouTube, I always watch
from him. India?
Yeah, he's an Indian dude. He comes out there, wraps himself up in his skirt. He has this big old giant pot, and he's cooking fly souffle. Everything he got flies landing on this shit. He'll just go... But he made it. This shit looks delicious, man. But there's flies on it.
But here's what you don't understand is that it gives the flies the run, so they don't come back.
Oh, damn.
My thing is, you don't see what this little fly is. He just jumped off of this big piece of elephant shit and he landed on your sandwich. And now he's marching all these shit prints all over your burger.
Shit prints.
I'm not doing that, son. You better than me, Russ. I don't know how you do that shit.
Hey, it's Johnny Shit Prince.
That's enough. That's
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Francis Quendo never got treated properly.
Yeah, and he was a good fighter. He was a good fighter, yeah.
What about you, Eric Schwartz? Who'd you
I mean? Don't fight.
No.
Did you ever get in a fight before?
And that scared me. I don't even watch boxing anymore. That's how bad I got beat up.
Yeah.
Scotty Hatch, he's beat the shit out of me.
Scotty Hatch.
I still remember his name.
Oh, hell yeah. I know his face. I know his address.
If you remember his name, you got the brakes beat.
Dude, check this out. I was getting beat up every day after school. And to the point where my dad was like, all right, we're going to address this. We're going to go over to Scotty Hatch's house and we're going to talk to his parents. Now, keep in mind that my dad looks exactly like me, but with a sweet ass pimp ass comb over.
Okay. Oh, nice. Nice.
So it's like big guy, little guy of the same person going over this guy's house. And the same thing with Scotty Hatch and his dad. Scotty Hatch's dad is a big version of this fucking bully.
He's just as much of an asshole.
Yeah. He opens the door. He goes, hey, what's up? Can I help you? And my dad goes, yeah, your son has been beating up my son, Eric. And this guy did not give a shit. He turns around. He goes, hey, Scotty, you been touching this kid? He goes, no. And he goes, looks like he hasn't touched him. staring down my dad.
Like, like the fuck you gonna do about it?
Yeah. Wow. And what we ultimately had to do, we moved.
Yeah. No, that's a true story.
I swear to God.
That's not a true story.
I swear. That's
did dad move you to protect you from a kid in the neighborhood?
I don't know if that was the reason.
Dad moved to protect himself from the father.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, we're Jews. We're Jews with glasses.
Well, Israel, Palestine, and never left. So
yeah, that's true. We're not Israelis.
There's a difference between Jews and Israelis.
We're like Southern California Reform Jews.
Yeah. The closest thing when I was a kid with bully shit, and it wasn't bully shit, but my father always he had me shooting 22s in the garage. I was a little kid. He taught me how to box, taught me how to fight, all of that shit. So I was a fighter in school. I put kids in headlocks, whatever. Somebody fuck with me, the older kids. I beat up the older kids.
Yeah.
But then my father, he was in Vietnam. He went a little crazy, and he became a preacher, man. And he became Prince Omar, the Black Angel. And he started going door to door selling Bibles. Like, Jesus.
His name is Prince Omar?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, yep, that's what the neighborhood called him. And he's like the
is
Black
your dad?
Angel. Yeah, yeah.
So, but he's white.
He's
right?
Black?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, he's white.
Italian. Oh, okay.
It's half the same. And his father was Scottish. Yeah. So Prince Omar, the Black Angel, is walking in the neighborhood selling Bibles, all this shit. And he said, son, the man with courage keeps his hands in his pockets and walks away, you know? So he's teaching me not to fight now. My whole life he told me to fight, right? So this is like third, fourth grade. And like, so kids was in a park talking shit. And I was like, the man with courage, you know, and I walked away and I was like, he's a pussy. I'm like, no, I'm the brave one. My father told me. So for like fucking 2 months, I'm like walking away from fights. Like my dad told me courage, you know?
Yeah.
And then I told, I said, dad, they call me name. And he said, oh, you can fight. Oh yeah. So then I started fighting again and it got past it, you know? But, oh, you know what? One time, bully, I got beat up by the older kids.
Yeah.
Like three kids jumped me and I got beat up. And it was like 14 already. I was like 10, 11, and they had mustaches and shit.
At 14?
Yeah, like little baby,
old ass kids you got here.
No, they hit not like grown, like you know, 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, that first puberty, mustache.
They got that little bullshit. Yeah, so I remember I pulled up. My dad drove the Trans Am. He was the neighborhood star, you know, Vietnam veteran, crazy guy. Everyone was scared of him.
Side note: which Trans Am was it?
The smoky,
the good one, or the 6.6 one?
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a dope one.
But yeah, so he pulls up the next day on the bus, and he gets on the bus. My father got on the bus and he said, hey, I forgot to get Eric or this guy, that guy. He said, yo, I know who your father is. I know who your father is. You beat up my son. I'm going to beat up your daddy. I know where your father lives. And everything.
Yeah, my dad, did they have your kids, did the kids in your neighborhood say, my dad could beat up your dad?
They knew they couldn't fuck with my dad.
In Utah, they say, my dad could beat up your dad.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you're right. My dad sells ladies' clothing out of a truck. It's I was gonna say he had a store on wheels and he went around and
he was like the food truck of clothes.
Yeah. He was ahead of his time. Schmata salesman, they call that.
Yeah. He did sell the schmata.
He sold the schmatas.
I was bullied a lot growing up. Until I was 15, then I started boxing and never got bullied again.
And then you became friends with Lennox Lewis and everybody.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I see Lennox and I, like, I knew Lennox when I was, because I would see him at tournaments in Canada, at boxing tournaments. I always saw him. I would always be like, what's up? But we didn't really know each other then.
Yeah.
And then as we got older and we started doing things, like, we traveled in the same circles and we've been friends for a long time now. But
I was getting... Did you spar with them?
Not with Lennox. I was 147, dog. I'm not fucking sparring with a heavyweight. I sparred with a heavyweight one time.
Who's the most the best fighter you ever sparred with?
There was a guy that I grew up with named Willie who...
you never sparred with a pro?
No.
Oh, I thought you
No, well, my coaches were like pro fighters and that, like DeWitt Fraser and Rick Suse and them, but they weren't trying to spar with me. I wasn't good enough to spar with a fucking pro.
I'm out of shape, but I was with, you know, Ice Scully, John Scully, you know,
he's a
professional fighter.
Yeah,
he trained Chad Dawson with the Hopkins fight, and I was in his town in Connecticut. He's like, yeah, get in the ring for 3 rounds. I was like, you know, he's 49, 50 years old, but like, you know, I'm tall, and he kept it easy on me. I was like throwing like little jabs and he threw like little thing and I felt my nose go like, and I was like, oh shit, if you really want to fucking break my nose in 1 second, those professional fighters, I can't do that.
Well, when I started training out here for a little bit in LA, and I would train with Ricky Showtime Quiles. He beat Edner Cherry for the title
oh wow
at one point, and
But Ricky was slick,
so you
too.
Did spar with a professional.
I, yeah, 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 but I mean, like, in the 80s, I didn't. In the 2000s.
Yeah, it's been ever, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, as I got older, yeah, I got in the ring with some professionals. Oh, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Literally, they see everything you're about to throw, and I'm like, God damn, am I projecting that fucking hard?
And stamina. Like, you'd be like, oh, fuck. I'm
out of breath. Yeah, he'd be laughing. Yeah. But I would get him, like, every now and then with, like, a hook off the jab or something, like, pop, yeah, pop. And I remember one time, he did something... I did something and was like, okay, my bad, right? He did the touch gloves after, and then he went to do it again, and then he hit me.
Oh,
and he goes, you never touch gloves twice. You know, you're saying sorry twice. You say sorry once, you don't say fucking sorry twice. I was like, all right, my bad. And then, all right, and then I did the second one, he went pop. And I was like, motherfucker. He goes, never say sorry twice. You only say sorry once.
I always wanted to try boxing.
No, you didn't.
No, the training.
You left the fucking neighborhood.
No, the training.
Doing boxing a move. He's like,
the thing that kept me back is the thing that kept me back.
You know,
from
stick and move doesn't mean that.
Yeah, stick and move. Yeah,
get your shit moved out of town.
It's not a real estate thing. No, the thing that kept me back from it is getting hit. Like, I want to do the training part of it, but like, can you do that? Like, I want to.
Okay, I got advice for you.
Yeah,
you know what you do? Fencing.
Offensive. No, that's perfect.
That's not even comedy.
Yeah.
Like I hate getting hit in the head, getting a headache, a fat lip, or fucking. I hate sparring now. You know, it's like when I was a kid, I used to box in my neighborhood. You know,
you're from Long Island, right?
Yeah. When Buddy McGirt, all of the.
Oh yeah, Buddy's trained me.
No, I didn't train with Buddy. I'm saying.
No, I've trained with Buddy a few times. Yeah. Buddy lives out here.
Yeah, he lives. I should have invited his ass over. Blue Moon. I never trained with Buddy.
He's a great guy.
But what I was saying is when I went to England. It's just like fucking boxing. You know, it's like the sports, the jab, and all they're doing is like poking you. It's not like you're not getting a headache afterwards.
Jiu-jitsu would be good for you too. I've been training jiu-jitsu for 6 years.
But
man.
Do you also get they throw you on the floor, though, right?
You start on the floor.
Oh, okay.
You start on the floor.
You get
you and listen, jiu-jitsu.
Snap your arm.
Jiu-jitsu is easier because you're not going to get to that place. Right away where they start fucking you up. They're going to teach you how to get fucked up first. And
okay.
They're going to show you this is what you can do, but this is what they can do. And then eventually once you start getting more comfortable with knowing these little pieces of the puzzle, you'll start rolling with guys and you'll know, like you'll trust the guys that you're fighting with.
Okay. And just like on the street?
No.
No, okay.
Yo, we got to... get some of those guys to train them, and then we'll call that kid from his childhood, and we'll do a trill of
him.
Yeah, let's call him out.
Your childhood.
I need closure.
You know what? Yo, honestly,
that's a show.
That's a show. We just thought of it, man.
Oh, there was that show.
That is a show.
Get the nerd with the bully.
Yeah.
And train the nerd.
Which one am I? Which one am I?
You're definitely the bully.
Childhood bully.
I am the bully because I'm calling his ass out. And saying, you face me one
what
more
was his
time.
Name again?
Scotty Hatch.
Scotty Hatch.
I don't know if he still goes by Scotty. It's probably Scott by now.
Who's the jiu-jitsu master that you're always in pitches with?
No, that's John Jack Machado. He's one of the best.
Machado. We're going to get you in. He's going to teach you how to beat up. What's the guy's name again?
Scotty Hatch.
What's his dad's name? Scotty Sr.?
I probably.
Is your dad Eric Sr.?
Yo, no. We're going to get your dad.
My dad has a gangster ass name.
What's your dad's name?
Fight him.
Yeah.
That guy's dad.
Oh my God. He just had back surgery. Perfect. My dad's name is Lester.
Lester Schwartz. Wow.
Lester Schwartz. And his clothing business was called Get More From Less.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you like the podcast, please be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about it. And if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself. And follow us on Instagram at Culturally Canceled and Culturally RP on Twitter. We're also on YouTube if you want to see what the backyard kind of looks like. You don't really see what the backyard looks like. You just see where my smoking section looks like. And you could probably sneak a peek in the house, you weirdo. Also, we have a phone line now, so call and leave a message. You can ask me about whatever you want to ask me about. Hip-hop, parenting, food, boxing, MMA, relationships, comedy, sex. I don't give a shit. Ask me whatever you want. And I'll do my best to answer your question. If you want to leave a message, the phone number is 424-666-1983. That's 424-666-1983. Until next week, I'm Russell Peters.
new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And?
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.